All right, everyone, I'm so glad that you are still with us as we get ready now to address educational matters. And I have the pleasure of being joined by Dr. Stephen Owens, who is with the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, where he serves as a senior policy analyst who focuses on education. And Dr. Owens, it is truly a pleasure to have you with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. And I tell you what, you are definitely addressing an area that is near and dear to my heart, and I know near and dear to the hearts of many, because where would any of us be without a good education?
Absolutely. And as a product of public schools myself, I'm personally invested in making sure Georgia's system does well for generations in the future.
I'm with you. As a matter of fact, I am a proud product of the public school system as well. And so it definitely, that is near and dear to my heart as well. And one of the things that you're going to be sharing with us today is the fact that there is a problem when it comes to the funding of our school system, but there are ways to address those problems. Before we get there, could you share with us, Dr. Owens, a little bit more about yourself, particularly your academic background, what that doctoral degree is in, what led you into the arena of education, and how you ended up at the Institute?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Fayette County, Georgia, which is southwest suburban Atlanta. Sandy Creek High School, go Patriots, and immediately went to the University of Georgia, where I got a degree in philosophy and became a teacher when we moved to North Carolina, teaching religion at a private school. While I was there, they paid for me to take a master's classes and actually complete my master's in education, and that's where I really saw kind of like what the school system was going through and had this drive to improve it on a larger scale than just in the classroom. After the master's, I applied for and was accepted into a doctoral program at the University of Georgia, where I focused on education policy, specifically at the state level, because that's where most of education laws are coming from, because that's where the constitutional power resides, in the state level. While I was still a grad student, I got a job interning at the Georgia Department of Education, working for Superintendent Richard Woods, doing education and research analysis, and it really helped shape my dissertation on how education funding laws are passed in the United States. And so I focused on three states to see what it looked like for them to have wide-scale education funding changes, and compared them to Georgia on why nothing was really taking hold. Because one of the things we'll talk a little bit more about is the fact that we have a very outdated system for funding schools in Georgia, but there hasn't been any serious challenge to it, either in the courts or legislatively, to improve it in a long time. So I wanted to see why that was, and graduated with my doctorate a little over a year ago from the University of Georgia, and got a job at GBPI now as the education analyst, and I'm loving every minute of it.
That's awesome. Congratulations to you, too.
And thank you.
You spent some time in North Carolina, and I understand that North Carolina has been for years experiencing some really rough times when it comes to adequate funding of teacher salaries and other issues dealing with education.
Absolutely. North Carolina is in a unique position because they hold their public schools in such high regard and have such an incredible higher ed system in the state. But the last around 12 years has seen the state legislature slowly erode the amount of funding that goes to their public schools. That's K through 12 and their higher ed. And so they're in a little bit of transition as they decide how highly do they value their public school system, especially as one that used to be kind of the gold standard in the United States generally, in the South specifically. And so, but since then, Georgia has actually surpassed them in per pupil spending and a few other metrics as well. So yeah, they're going through their own challenges right now.
That is so interesting. And you know, it is amazing. It's remarkable to me that with all the talk we hear about education being so much better in the North, et cetera, that a school in the South, as you mentioned, was the gold standard for a while.
It is interesting. So much of what can be accomplished during the school day is tied to the background that students are in. And so it's hard to just do this like rough comparison of how Massachusetts, who they have this world-class education system, and Georgia, because Georgia has such high rates of child poverty. And so while we are able to do great things while the students are in the school doors, you can't determine whether or not a child goes home and has the support of a tutor or both parents in the home or transportation to and from activities that might help your schooling, like taking a musical instrument or playing a sport. And so you really have to view a state's education system a lot of different ways. And for the students that Georgia is educating, Georgia has a surprisingly growing and robust system, but there's still a long ways to go. And the recession did a number to our public schools.
And you mentioned, Dr. Owens, that funding has been something that has been played a critical role in how well our students can be educated. Of course, we all know that we've been hearing for years that in many schools we've had teachers going into their personal accounts, teachers using their credit cards to get some of the supplies that would be needed to try to afford their students the best education that those given teachers could possibly give them. And, of course, that spoke to the lack of funding. What has led to the shortage in funding for our public schools?
There's a few different areas. The recession, first of all, took large amounts away. So K-12 education in Georgia is the largest line item in the state budget. And because we have a constitutional requirement in this state to pass a balanced budget, state legislators had to make difficult decisions on where to make those cuts. And so for the last 16 years, the state of Georgia has given just under $10 billion less to schools in order to pass that balanced budget. That is something that other states have decided to raise revenue, increase taxes, but Georgia has decided to rather cut from schools. And then besides this amount coming from the state, about 40% of what the money that schools get come from local property taxes. And so if you have a low-wealth community that's not able to tax at the rates of a Fulton or Cobb or Forsyth or Gwinnett, then you're not as able to supply that additional funding, especially when the state gives less money year to year as they were required to do during the recession. So now that we are kind of out of those austerity cuts, is what they are called, one of the report that you mentioned came from this belief of how do we make those school districts whole? How do we do right by our school districts, especially our low-wealth school districts and our rural school districts, in order to provide the money they need to have an adequate education for students?
And so it becomes a almost a financial management issue now. We definitely don't want the state to just continually go into the red. Of course, there was a lot of debate back and forth as to whether or not the state should even pass a law requiring that there be a balanced budget.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Have they found that overall? Has that helped overall? Has it hurt overall? And then specifically, of course, I think that we can gather from what you shared with us so far that when it comes specifically to education, it has hurt overall.
Absolutely. There's a myth going around that money doesn't matter in education, that it's only about how you spend it. While there's a nugget in truth in that we need to have strong financial stewards making sure every dollar goes the most efficient place. Overall, if you want a solid school, if you want a robust school system for the state, then we have to pay for it. So when we give our school districts $10 billion less over 16 years, those effects are going to be felt for a long time. Mm-hmm. Conversely, now that we are quote-unquote fully funding our funding formula, those benefits will be felt for a long time. I told a presentation last week that fully funding our schools is like being faithful to your spouse. You can't just do it once. this needs to be a commitment that's made year after year. And it's a fight that we here at Georgia Budget and Policy Institute have been in for several years. And we're glad that we're now at a place where the state is meeting its full obligations for funding. But that doesn't mean that the harmful effects just went away overnight. These are kids that when they were in third grade could have less reading coaches, less PE coaches around, less electives available to them. The kids that were in third grade when we had our deepest cuts are seniors now. They didn't just disappear out of the system. And so we need to commit to these kids and to these communities now that we are out of that recession and into better economic times in order to increase the equity of funding across the state.
Well, Dr. Owens, when we come back, I definitely would like for you to share with us what seemed to me to be some great, great tips for the way forward when it comes to funding education fairly in Georgia. But before we go there for just a minute, I'd like to ask you this. You talked about those third graders now being seniors, third graders who were really deprived academically in significant ways. And now those third graders who were deprived in the third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, they're now seniors. Are we looking at long-term ramifications of that deprivation, that academic deprivation because of the shortage in funding that could possibly affect us families for generations? Or does what we have now in place circumvent some of that at some point down the road?
It can work both ways, but I believe that we will feel the effects of those cuts for years, absolutely, to your point.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember what I often share with you. Our leaders make decisions, and they can make good decisions, they can make bad decisions, they can make decisions that cause pain, and pain for some time. And one of the things we need to be asking ourselves is, when they make those kinds of decisions, are they making them out of ignorance? Because despite the fact that we expect them to know the ramifications of their decisions, they still don't know. Or do they know what the ramifications will be? And that's what motivates them to make the bad decisions that cause so much pain. Dr. Owens and I will be right back, and he'll be sharing with us some steps that our state legislature can take in funding education fairly across all school districts across the entire state. Be back in just a few.